You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
And very pleasant. Good afternoon. Welcome. Hope everybody had a great 4th of July holiday. And we are looking good here. And hoping to talk to you. Many, many guests will be dropping by here, and some of them very, very quickly. And look forward to having that conversation with all of you. We'll talk a couple of minutes with Daniel Libet from Sportico. Nobody has been on that topic more aggressively than he has. And we'll give you an update a week later after NIL. And I was talking to somebody earlier today, and they said, now, when will this end up going to high schools? I said, very quickly. A little bit later on, John Wilner from the Mercury News. Talk about how the Pac-12 is handling it. Also, the passing of Terry Donahue, one of the great football coaches from the West Coast. He died over the weekend, and one that is still being very fondly remembered all across the country. Sed Golden from the Austin American-Statesman. We'll talk about the Longhorns. They take on Arkansas week 2 of the season. And we'll get his take on the Big 12 from out there. Matt Hayes, based in Jacksonville, we'll get the latest on Urban. He also did a piece on the SEC coaches and who's up and who's down. And interestingly, he has Kirby Smart. Yes, I said that. Kirby Smart going in the wrong direction. And Tom Luganville a little bit later on. Some big recruiting news over the weekend. Ohio State continues to be hauling in one of the epic classes of all time. So that's where we are. We love to hear from you, and we have a little bit of time before our first guest drops in at 855-242-7285. Nothing too serious this week. This is a pretty laid-back week, as longtime veterans of the show know. This is just a very quiet week where so many of you are hopefully on the road, vacationing, visiting family, taking it easy, and don't hesitate to give us a ring. We, of course, 2 weeks from today, we will be day 2 of SEC Media Days. Can you believe that? It is just around the corner, and look forward to getting ready for that. Just looking at a couple of things. I don't know about you. I love these college football magazines. I mean, it's just... I don't know why they just don't, one company just doesn't put out one. Because I try to look at a couple of them every year. And I am not knocking them. I have written for them in the past, and a lot of hard work goes into this. But it just, after you've read one, it seems like they all tend to blend together. I was talking to a friend of mine up east, I believe it was on 4th of July, and he said, yeah, I'm studying mine very closely, which is interesting. I mean, I think that's especially this time of the year when not much else is going on. They are good sources of information. And I do think they help to create where we are perceptively at the beginning of the year. That used to be a lot more important than it is now. And that's obviously because of the college football playoff. But you know, you look at the top 25s, they all tend to look the same, and I won't waste your time going through them because Alabama's number one in just about every one of them. There really isn't much doubt, and I do like the top five positions. What I really like, and maybe this is the old reporter in me, is the anonymous stuff. When the reporters get out there and they go deep, they find out what people really think, not just the boilerplate, nonsensical Alabama, Clemson, Oklahoma, Georgia, Texas A&M. I mean, we can get that anywhere. So, but I mean, I must say that I don't think I saw much in these magazines that really blew me away. One of them I'm looking at, this is the Lindy's. How about this? Top 10 storylines. Stop me if you've heard this one before. Number one, Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State. I mean, that's part of the problem in college football. The storylines are always the same. Number two, ready for this one? Saban at 70. Wow. I remember the song, A Pirate Looks at 40. Now Saban's at 70. Is 70 old now that Nick Saban is 70 and he can do no wrong? The year of the super senior, number four, SEC champions in there. How about this? LSU at number five. Not LSU good, but LSU bad. The LSU mess. I'm just going to read you a couple of lines from this and see what you think. Less than 18 months after winning a national championship, LSU is wrapped in controversy. There is an ongoing investigation into alleged sexual assault that may have happened on the watch of both Ed Orgeron and Les Miles. Yeah, we knew about Les. After that, there's really it's very predictable. So which brings me to the question, are we going to have another predictable season, or will maybe this be the year that something truly shocking happens? I'm trying to think when the last time we had a college football season that was really surprising. The LSU 2 years ago was not that surprising. We knew they would be good. I don't know anybody outside of Baton Rouge that thought they'd win the national championship, but the same people pick that every year. But I don't remember really a season that has been all that shocking in recent years. Most of them have been very, very predictable. Let's do this. Let's get some reaction before our first guest drop by. I mentioned the number. It's 855-242-7285. We're here until 7 p.m. Eastern, and let's begin in New Orleans. Ed, go right ahead. You're on the air. You're first up.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing today?
Ed, doing great. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. I don't know if you remember, I called last week about, the boosters and stuff like that and how I thought.
I do.
I don't know if you saw the headlines on internet now, but a booster at the University of Miami has offered the University of Miami to pay all 90 football players $500 monthly, and it's called the Bring Back to You. And what they're going to do is they're going to promote his martial arts training academy and maybe make some appearances and different things like that and do whatever he's supposed to be doing, or they're supposed to be doing, I don't know, in the form of promotion. But can you imagine the monies that are going to start to change hands, and there's going to be nobody to keep track of it, nobody going to know who's paying taxes on things, and God, if we don't do something, some kind of thing, some powers or something, it need to be given to either the NCAA
but here's the problem.
Form a new organization.
The NCAA
that
created that, and you've heard us say this before.
Right.
They created this by not acting when they had a chance to get some legislation in here, and now they're simply in a react mode, a desperate mode, and I don't really think there's anything that can be done at this point. I really do believe there is now a license to cheat, and there's no accountability.
And I
really think that's where we are. I know that sounds defeatist, but I believe it's the truth.
Well, I share the same thoughts with you and all. But isn't there something, or maybe some kind of organization can be formed, or something can be done within the government itself to make sure that this is all reported on and people pay their taxes? And
in theory, you're right. And by the way, I mean, we do have federal tax laws, state tax laws, as you're well aware, and most people follow them, not everybody, though. And that's a tough thing to keep track of. I think the universities are doing their best to try to have some checks and balances, but there's only so much they can do.
Right. Well, just maybe if in the future you can think of somebody that would be very knowledgeable in those areas and all that you can maybe speak to or we'll lend you an
ear. It's a good idea. No, and by the way, it leads us to our next guest, who is one of the top sports business reporters in the country. Daniel Libet will join us in a minute from Sportico. We'll continue with your phone calls all afternoon long, and we are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We are back, and appreciate all of you being here, and really interesting to think about where we are and where we've been over these last few weeks. Daniel Libet has covered this topic for Sportico so well, and we want to make sure we have a chance to really get into what has really been going on. Daniel, thank you very, very much for joining us again. You've been covering NIL for a long time, in addition to so many other big issues. How did the first week go?
I think it went with a bang. It was kind of interesting given all of the talk leading up to July 1st, how prepared college sports seemed for the moment, you know, at the level of institutions, certainly not at the level of the NCAA, but there the clock struck midnight and players were tweeting out deals they had. It seemed like athletic departments were there to signal boost the deals that their athletes were getting. And it was off to the races. And this, you know, decade-long concern that had been expressed by the NCAA and institutions and others that athletes earning money while playing college sports, while being eligible, was going to be the apocalypse. Here we are, and college sports still exists a week into the NIL era. So I think that those concerns were shredded. But of course, you know, this is just the beginning, and there's a lot of other implications of what athletes earning money from third parties will mean. And there's a lot of sorting out for institutions and the NCAA and perhaps still Congress in terms of how far this is going to go.
Yeah, I want to come back to that in a minute, Daniel, but just from what we heard at middle to end of last week, some of it was anticipated, you know, some of it was bigger than maybe the average person thought, but it seems, and you help all of us understand this, that a lot of big companies are still hanging back, waiting to see which way the wind is blowing. Can you deal with that part of it?
Well, yeah, that's certainly true. On the other hand, you know, you could see, you know, from the perspective of businesses, they were getting a kind of earned media effect from being the first. I mean, you know, you might have paid an athlete a couple $100, but they would then tweet it out. News media would then write about this. There was kind of TikTok deconstructions about how deals got set up. I mean, this was arguably some of the best money you could spend, given how really, you know, the companies, big or small, that struck deals early on with athletes were getting all this kind of reverberating media attention. But yeah, to your point, I mean, you know, we're not even in football season here. The academic year hasn't started. I think for a whole number of reasons, including the legislation that surrounds this, and then just also where we are in the calendar, there's a number of companies that are going to wait at least until the fall to put their money into this operation.
And Daniel, in terms of what they're waiting for, can you address that?
Well, I think there might, in terms of companies, I think there might be a whole bunch of things. I mean, I think one is you know, the more time that goes by, perhaps we'll find out where the real value is. I mean, there's this initial opportunity that college athletes are, you know, who were previously unable to be hired to do promotional work are now all of a sudden hired. You know, clearly not all of them have the same value to a company in terms of what they're going to deliver. There's this flood. I mean, they're in competition with one another in some at the level of a single media market, and then nationally in terms of what they bring and how they can promote. But again, I don't think we're talking about a lot of money here, and it seems like it's worth taking a flyer on, especially if you're a company with any kind of distribution, that, you know, yeah, you throw a couple grand at an athlete here and there and there and there, and you know, you get their Instagram, you get their Twitter. At the very least, it seems like it's worth dipping your toe in. But you know, this will sort out. This is a very new media market and in some ways promotional industry that is unlike even any of the analogs. This is not the same as hiring a professional athlete. In terms of the effect, the business effect, the advertising effect, the promotional effect. And so just as we're trying to determine a market value, just as the NCAA has been trying to determine a market value for college athletes, businesses are going to do that as well and figure out ultimately if this is money well spent.
And I don't want to turn you into a media critic, but I am interested in something, though, because you talked about the value of being
happy to be that, Paul,
of early in. But it seemed like, from my standpoint, the media, the sports media, which you know can often get a bad rap, was about as fawning and as cheerleading as I've ever seen them with something new, which I'm sure even for the minor endorsements, disseminated the news of them a little bit farther than maybe we would be accustomed to.
Yeah, well, no doubt. I think you had last week on your program Ben Strauss of the Washington Post,
right,
who had written the article, talking very insightful article last week, talking about how sports journalism, you know, has really converted on the issue of athletes earning money on the side and on amateurism. And yeah, I mean, this was kind of parceled out by the sports media as a sort of game. I mean, here we are in July, we're not talking about recruiting, we're talking about who's earning what from whom, and it becomes part of the entertainment of covering college sports, and there is certainly a packed journalism tendency in the coverage of sports, and so everybody is covering the latest deal, and, you know, I'll not put myself outside of that. I contributed in some ways to that effort, but yeah, I mean, I think this is becoming a new kind of college sports entertainment, is what are the athletes earning instead of who they're considering and who's recruiting whom. It really does seem to steal the thunder, at least in year one, because this is just happening in the summer. This is stealing the thunder from the recruiting coverage.
Daniel, a lot to talk about. I want to go back to something you said early on about where this goes, NIL in particular, with Congress, with other entities. This is a hodgepodge right now. It was a rush job to get it done. It's now official. What are you hearing about the next iteration of this? Are we going to go back to Washington? Are they going to tackle it?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't put good money on that happening soon. It would seem that if there was motivation for Congress to do something, it was always to do something before July 1. The cat's already kind of out of the bag. And so to try to write a new national standard to police NIL when we're already now into NIL, deals have been struck, as we've all paid witness to, in various different states with different kinds of regulations. I don't think there's going to be as much motivation to do that. And clearly it was insufficient to get Congress to even pass a bill out of a committee addressing NIL before last week. I spent a lot of time, and I wrote last week, talking about the job now ahead for college athletic department compliance directors, who are really at the front line of deciding and figuring out whether or not NIL is enforceable in the way that the NCAA wants it to be. I mean, again, there's still this patina of amateurism that hangs over college sports, that athletes earning money on the side and athletes getting cost of living benefits and athletes getting money from their student assistance funds, from their school student assistance funds, this is still on the side of amateurism. And we're all trying to squint now to see it that way, if you're so inclined. But for compliance directors at schools, and I talked to several in the Power Five, they're made to now figure out immediately how much they want to dedicate and how possible it is to try to wrangle all of these deals. I mean, there's disclosure requirements in most state laws that require athletes to tell their schools what they're earning and from whom, to make sure that these still comport to certain standards, that these are not recruiting inducements, that these are actually actual independent promotional deals. But this is getting so blurred at this point. I wonder if we're talking in a year from now, after this upcoming college football and basketball season, if the jig is basically up. I think in many ways, amateurism is Tinkerbell. And if people don't keep clapping for it, it's going to die. And at this point, it's the people who have to continue to believe in it, for it to be believed into existence, are the schools. And in terms of whether or not they're going to actually try to ride herd over what their athletes are earning. And I heard from two different camps, effectively, those who now feel like they have really been burdened with an impossible task, but are going to try to do this. And then compliance people at schools who say, I'm not even going to ask. This is for the athletes to figure out. And it's kind of a hear no evil, see no evil approach. And again, I think that just leaves you in concert with what the Supreme Court ruled in Alston, and everything else that we've seen over the last year, to really question whether or not amateurism is on its way out permanently.
Hold the thought. I want to come back to that, because it's way too much to talk about there in the short period that we have left in this segment. I'm going to come back with a little more conversation with Daniel Libet. Eventually, we'll get to your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Daniel Libet of Sportico talking about the week that was and where it all goes from here. Daniel, one last thing on the compliance issue, and I know you said something about that, but I mean, how do we translate that there is going to be any compliance or accountability on these athletes? Because I mean, you've already quoted a number of people who are throwing their hands up in the air. Is this I don't want to say a license to steal or but it almost seems like there really isn't going to be very much, if at all.
Yeah, well, I mean, part of it is that the distinction between what is permissible is so unclear now. And this is true for NIL. It's true in terms of the educational related benefits that the Supreme Court ruled should be uncapped in the Alston case. These are very nebulous terms, and they've sort of been nebulous for a while and have been able to exist that way because they've never really been under pressure. But yeah, I mean, what is the difference between a recruiting inducement and a permissible endorsement? A lot of these rules, and sort of following the lead of the NCAA, say that boosters cannot do NIL deals with athletes of those programs. I mean, what defines a booster? You can be a season ticket holder who has to make a de minimis payment to the university in order to get access to certain seats, and that would qualify you as a booster. So, I mean, you know, there's a lot of cleanup work that has had to be done for a while on the terminology and on the restrictions, and it wasn't. It was sort of left out there under the expectation that something like this was never going to come to pass. And here we are now, and we're realizing that a lot of our terminology, a lot of the NCAA's terminology, and a lot of the ways that they've defined what can and cannot be done is unclear and murky and self-contradictory and hypocritical. And so, you know, it's now putting the pressure on individual schools and on individuals in those athletic departments to make these determinations and to really make the judgment call of whether or not it's worth expending the effort and taking the risk. I mean, if you're a university or an athletic department, and you decide that you want to put, you know, you want to go full tilt and police all of your athletes on every deal that they do, you're just exposing yourself to greater and greater liability. It's sort of a deal with the devil there. And so the natural incentive is to not necessarily turn a blind eye to every deal, but certainly not enthusiastically pursue all these deals, because if it's not brought to your attention, or if you don't yourself bring it to the NCAA's attention, who's going to keep track of this? I mean, you're going to need a police force the size of the military in order to, you know, to account for every single deal that might happen. And, you know, I was, you know, several compliance heads of schools said to me basically the same thing, that their concern and what they're expressing to their athletes is, you know, be worried about the IRS in terms of paying your taxes much more than be worried about the NCAA. And that is just a complete change of pace and direction from everything that college sports compliance has built up over the last 30 years.
And Daniel, in relation to the NCAA, not so much what they're capable of doing enforcement-wise, but the question has been raised by many, what about the future of the NCAA? You know, can it withstand all the attacks? Can it withstand the seismic change going on? I know it's not easy to tear something down quickly, but what are you hearing, and what is the life expectancy remaining of this battered organization?
Well, I mean, the NCAA still, even in its battered form, still serves a purpose, which is it takes the flak. And, you know, I mean, you know, it is, I think I mentioned this previously on your show, but it's worth noting that recently Mark Emmert, you know, who the much maligned Mark Emmert, was re-upped by the NCAA, which if he was running, you know, a normal corporation with all of the ill attention put towards it and him specifically, that would just seem unfathomable, but, you know, clearly he serves a purpose, and the NCAA serves a purpose certainly organizationally as the governing body, but also as the flat catcher of all things amateurism. You know, it's a good question. I mean, it's likely that there's going to be some entity that serves as the clearinghouse for the rules and the competitions and the major competitions in college sports, whether or not it's the NCAA or another entity that serves a similar purpose, but maybe has updated itself to comport with the times. I don't have a feel on that. I mean, it's hard to make a judgment, and I've asked that question of many people, and I don't get a very confident response one way or the other. The NCAA is not going away tomorrow, and wouldn't be going away for years. But, you know, there was already an effort. The Knight Commission had recommended back in December. The Reform Organization had recommended back in December that for the FBS powers to peel away and form their own governing entity separate from the NCAA. That was a proposal that was met with great contempt from Mark Emmert and from the NCAA. But that's something that's been proposed before. I don't know that solves all of the challenges, but bifurcating responsibilities might be a default move between multiple organizations. But, I mean, the one thing you can always bet on, and we're seeing this unfold now, even in reform and even in deregulation, is you just see more bureaucracy. That's true in college sports. It seems true in America. And so I wouldn't bet against something like the NCAA or the NCAA itself, you know, surviving this and maybe even finding a way to grow.
Great stuff, as always. Daniel Libet from Sportico, thank you so very much. Come back, and we look forward to talking to you soon.
Thanks so much, Paul. Happy to do it.
Great stuff. Two great segments with Daniel. We are heading to the break, and much more to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And we welcome you back. It's great to have all of you here. And let's continue with more phone calls. And you can get in right now. It's a good time to get in at 855-242-7285. A reaction to what we just got through listening to. With Daniel, your thoughts. Is this crazy? How insane is this going to be? Does it bother you as traditionalists or for newbies, for that matter, that college football is really not going to have any accountability any longer? Abe is up next from Alabama. Abe, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, I really like that deal there you had with Daniel, and I learned a lot. That's why I listen to Feinbaum, so I can learn. And I think there's an adage that applies here. You ever heard the adage, out of chaos comes order?
Yeah, I have heard that. That's that is really an interesting phrase. You're absolutely right.
Well, I think that's what we're going to see. And now I'm a Bama fan, but I got a request from a rival fan. I'm my brother's a musician, my family's musicians, and I know he's a drummer. And I was watching YouTube last night, and I thought about him. There was a drum cover of a John Mellencamp song, I Need a Lover That Won't Drive Me Crazy. And I thought about it. Could you encourage I-Man to post a YouTube of him doing a drum cover of his favorite song so he could share it with us? You know, wouldn't it be great to see a YouTube
that is interesting.
Somebody we know?
I have heard him play, and by the way, that's a great Mellencamp song. I'll ask him. I'm sure he's listening right now as he's riding around central Alabama.
Yeah, I just went through Montgomery and I thought about him. He's probably pouring some Freon in an air conditioner right now. And when he gets done, maybe he can do us a song. And anyway, thanks, Paul. I've learned a lot.
We appreciate it. Great to have you. Great to have you with us. Appreciate it. Let's continue with more phone calls at 855-242-7285. Greg is up next.
Hey, Paul, how you doing today, man?
Greg, we are doing great. Thank you for calling.
Hey, I'm just going to give you an opportunity. Let's clarify what you said about the license to steal thing. You're not talking about the athletes, the basketball players, and the football players. You're talking about institutions and boosters, correct?
Yeah, you can interpret it any way you want, but I mean, here's the situation. I'm not blaming the athletes. I mean, they're being given something that theoretically is legal for them.
Just in case somebody misinterpreted you.
Right. No, I'm glad you said that because I don't think. I mean, right now, if you're an athlete, and I'm having a hard time using the phrase student athlete because it's just a cop out. If you play at any school and you're getting something, why not? I mean, I would take it, and so would you. It's you know, the school is the one who needs to be in charge of making sure everything works.
Exactly. And there's a lot of people that have been chiming in. They've called it everything from like socialism to it's just been crazy. In fact, people that I know around here in Birmingham, they said, well, they should just you know, take all the money and put it in a pool and spread it out to everybody. It's like, well, congratulations, you just figured out what socialism is. So they really need to understand that this is just the what they call the invisible hand at work of capitalism. The free market is finding its way in to amateur sports as it is. Thanks for taking the call. Let's always bye.
Thank you very much, and really good to hear from you. And I'm curious what people think about this because I mean, it is really becoming a major issue. It's just started, but does anyone really care that there are no longer really going to be any tried and true rules? Does it bother you? I mean, we always tend to care more about what's happening at another school than our own. But you know, even for you traditionalists out there who played a long time ago or went to school a long time ago when things were different, are we in an age now in 2021 where that stuff just doesn't really factor into it? As long as our team does well, as long as our school does well, do we care what happens? And as our caller just mentioned a minute ago, Greg, I don't blame some 22-year-old or 19-year-old for taking something that theoretically is okay. It's not like, I mean, they've all heard the lectures. You can do this, you can't do this, make sure you document it, make sure. I mean, we all hear that. Anybody that works for a company, how many times and how many hoops do you have to go through on everything you do? And most of us do it correctly, and then some of us go, I'm not filling out any more forms. There's just too many. So, I mean, I think that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about technicalities. I mentioned earlier, this is ultimately going to go to high schools. Does that concern you? Does any of this concern anyone? I mean, I have heard 90% of the public that we have talked to is in favor of this. Occasionally, somebody's against it. I don't know whether it's social. I don't know what it is. This is just, or is it just the times that we live in? I thought Libet made a really good point about what Ben Strauss said the other day. I mean, I grew up as an investigative reporter. I mean, it angered me when I heard that some school was cheating. That really bothered me. That was a motivating factor. I mean, I was an idealist. I thought you're supposed to do it right. And then I found out more. Or is it that we believe that cheating exists everywhere? That guy's cheating, well, so why can't I? As long as you win, are we in that culture? So that's a good, that's a lot of what we're dealing with here is just the changing times. And we are going to continue talking about this. A lot more to do. I realize it's a holiday and a lot of you are out traveling, but we will be happy to take your phone calls. And we'll come back. We'll get to some calls at 855-242-7285. We are heading on a conversation about the Pac-12. We've already talked about NIL. Many more guests later, and we're coming right back.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.